cry out, "The Lord is my strength," and then we'll hand over to the pastor. Maybe we don't have it. Matthew 2, I think it's in the Key of David. We'll try it. Might make a mistake, but we'll start over again. The joy of the Lord is... Take too low. Hold on now to see. I get it. The joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. Don't get the right keys for this. The joy of the Lord is my strength. 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 He gives me living water and I thirst.
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one tonight. Give everyone a warm welcome in their service in the name of the Lord. I've been studying in Christ, the mystery of God revealed, but and then there's another message that I want to share, but I just really feel tonight to go back to this on the blood of Jesus. And I believe the Lord really touched people on Sunday, and there's one brother comes here, and he was telling me on Monday that how much he enjoyed the service, and he cried, and he said God really done something for him on Sunday. And you know, you see, the problem is today, it's all about me and all about you, but that's wrong. It's all about what he done. And that's what I want to do, is tell you what he done for you. And it's not about how good your week is or how bad your week is. That's nothing to do with it. It's all about what he done for you. And if we can concentrate on him and forget about ourselves, well then God can start to move. Amen. But when self gets in the road, it's all about self getting in the road. And we went south out of the road, and you know, a lot of the old people used to pray, hide me behind the cross. And some people didn't like that type of prayer, but there's truth in it. It's the Lord we want at the forefront. God will give us glory to no other. Amen. Let us turn to Galatians 1 tonight, Galatians chapter 1, and Sunday's reading from Hebrews 9. And without the shedding of blood, no remission. And then from the Old Testament, we saw that all the things of the tabernacle were sprinkled with the blood. And almost all things it said were sprinkled by the blood. Because almost everything in the tabernacle was sprinkled with the blood. And then we saw in 1 Peter 1, verse 18, it calls it the precious blood of Jesus. Now, I kept thinking about that today. Why is the blood of Jesus precious? What you have to think about is the value of the life behind it. And when you think about the value of the life behind it, it's more valuable than an animal's life. It's more valuable than any other life. Because it's his life. And you know, there's the life behind the name. There's a song sings about that. There's a life behind the name. And there's life in the blood. And when the blood seal was broken on the cross, the life of God was released to the church. And that life's the Holy Ghost, Romans 8. And the same spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you. It will quicken and make alive your mortal body. It's precious blood. Because it's without original sin. It's untainted, undefiled. Thank God tonight. So we're going to look again at the blood of Jesus tonight. Galatians 1 verse 4, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Let us bow our heads again this evening. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come before your throne room by the new and living way through the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we would say with the hymn writer tonight, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. We thank you for the power of the blood of Jesus Christ tonight. And we plead the merits of that blood over this house and everyone in it. We plead the merit of that blood over all that's near and dear to us tonight. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the shedding of blood. There is remission. We bless you this evening, and thy blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Lord, you've delivered us from this present evil world. Father, bless everyone in this house tonight. Meet with us, we pray. We thank you, Lord, for two or three gathering in your name, your promise to be in our midst, and that to bless us. We thank you for the blessing. I take the Holy Spirit to help me right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you that you will, Lord. I pray you'll bless your word, for it is blessed. In Jesus' name, meet every need. Touch everyone in this room. And Lord, for the sisters or brothers that's working tonight or not here this evening, thank all the nurses and doctors. Bless them. Be with them, Lord, and bless your own people, Israel. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Who gave himself for our sins? I tell you, that opening phrase, there's a real truth in that. There's a real fundamental truth in it. He gave himself because nobody else could pay the price. He gave himself. Nobody else was good enough. And I mentioned on Sunday that in the chapel they have a sacrifice, a bloodless sacrifice, and they have a bloodless communion. But we're working with some of them with blood tonight. It bled and the life come out of it. And I tell you, he gave himself for our sins. No man was good enough to do it. But God gave us only begotten Son, special unique one. And the Bible tells us he's the Lamb slain from the very foundation of the world in the mind of God. for our sins. Titus 2:14 says, who gave himself for us. This is a real phrase in Scripture. God is emphasizing through his word, he gave himself. Nobody else could do it. There's not a prophet through the Old Testament could do it, no matter how good they were. There's not an apostle through the New Testament could do it, no matter how good they were, because every one of them made a mistake somewhere, and they had to. Because there was one coming that wouldn't make a mistake. There was one coming that did the will of the Father to perfection. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I only do what the Father shows me. That's what he said. And he gave himself. Jesus Christ did this 2,000 years ago at the cross when he became our substitute. Now what that means was he took your place and my place. And I want you to get out of your head a substitute like a football or a rugby player. I'm not talking about a substitute like that, because that's one for one, but Jesus was one for all. One for all. He gave himself for all. For all mankind. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Somebody said it might be God's will to save all. Well, then what about the wee scripture that says, it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all might be saved. There's provision for all. Provision for all. He gave himself that we could be saved. His life was given to save our lives. His life was given to save our lives. He died that we could live. Hebrews 9, verse 12 to 14 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now this holy place was not the tabernacle made by Moses in the wilderness, which was a figure of the true, but into heaven itself it says. What else did it say? Now to appear before God for us. Now I want you to show me another man can do that. You know, there's some people and they pick certain men and they say they're just exactly like Jesus, but there's none of them can do this. There's none of them that can appear before God for us. Not a one. Only the Lord. There's not one of them that you could say, he knew no sin, he had no sin. That's why Peter calls it the precious blood of Jesus. As of a lamb, without spot and without blemish. Look at verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer are sprinkled in the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit, offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works. I tell you, you know, that's the problem of a man or a woman that's not saved. Their conscience is troubled. And when you come under conviction, your conscience is troubled. Who's ever had that? Well, I'll tell you, if you've never had it, you're not even saved. I'll tell you that now. God has to move a man's conscience to save him. He troubles him. And he moves his conscience. And God gave a man a free will and he gave him a conscience. I met a fellow one time over in Colombia. Jim over here, Philip was with me, he's dead now. Some of you will know who I'm talking about. He was shot not long ago. And I got to talk with him. And he told me, could he do this and could he do something else? You see, he wanted the world and he wanted the Lord. And I said, my conscience wouldn't let me do it. But I said, you see, the Bible speaks of a man whose conscience is sheared out with the hot iron. And a man like that can do anything because his conscience is sheared. But I thank God for a conscience. That God can move you and move in your conscience. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You see, before you were born again, your conscience led you into the wrong thing, didn't mind it. The wrong thing in the wrong way and down the wrong road. One sinner can't die to save another sinner. But Christ, being the sinless one, died for all sinners because he was sinless. See, that's the difference, you see, than this heavenly priest, than the earthly priest. And I want to tell you, the earthly priest's work was cancelled out when the heavenly priest took up office. The act of transubstantiation, where they have power invested in them to turn away from the literal physical body of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it can't be done, and it doesn't need to be done. Because you see, that sinless one died for sinners. And he can save nobody but sinners. That's who he come for. Sinners. John saw him coming and John said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He's God's appointed, taketh away of sin. He'll purge your conscience of dead works to serve the living God. He who knew no sin became sin for us." That means he took your place and my place and all your sin and all my sin. He carried it. He bore it. That means he carried it so you can release it tonight. The devil would condemn you with it. Yes, even those are saved. The man that I was talking to is a saved man. But when the blood was preached, he had freedom. There's an awful Christians in their works programs. They're working. And if they're misreading the verse or mispraying, they're backslid because some boy tells them they are. And then the devil takes a stick and he beats them. And he beats them and he beats them. Then when it comes to pray, they can't pray, for they're condemned. But God didn't condemn them. Our brother mentioned it on Sunday. The devil condemns. Jesus Christ took our sins. Now I'm going to give you one further that Spurgeon said. He took the sins of your past, present, and future. Amen. And he bore them all at Calvary. I'll say it again. Past, present, and future. All of them was laid on him. And he bore them all. And he says, "Thy sins and thy iniquities will I remember no more." And you have a clear conscience tonight. From your youth, your conscience is clear. And you're a free agent tonight. Thank God when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God raises a standard. And God's word is that standard. He took our sin upon himself at the cross. Romans 3:23. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Lord took our place." You know the Bible says all have sinned. There's none righteous, none at all. But Jesus was the great anti-type of the blood of the Jewish offering and sacrifice, and the blood of the animal sacrifices under the old covenant. It was temporal. Temporal. But this is eternal. Not temporal. You know, how long do you think the gospel will last? A fellow said, "You know, we've moved on from preaching the blood and preaching the cross. We've moved on. But Revelation calls it the everlasting gospel." The everlasting gospel. Thank God for the everlasting gospel. Thank God it cleanses from all sins. The blood animal sacrifices under the old covenant, temporal. All these Old Testament sacrifices that were temporal. But they all point to Christ and the cross. All of them. The blood of Jesus Christ was shed once for all to put away sin. Now, I want you to get that phrase, to put away sin. The Old Testament sacrifice covered sin. If you cover someone here tonight, you could cover someone in the middle of that floor with a blanket, but it's still there. It's only covered. And then it says the next year they had to do it again and cover it again. There was a re-offering every single year. The veil was sprinkled afresh every year with the blood of the bullock, the turtle dove, the pigeon, the goat, the Lamb. But Christ's blood was shed once and for all. The Bible said he bore the sins of many. Redemption through the blood. This redemption work of Christ delivered us from the guilt, from the penalty, from the power, from the consequences, and from the presence of sin. Amen. I'll give you one even further. Romans says under Paul, sin will have no more dominion over you. And I'll go one more again. It also says death will have no dominion over you. Because of what Christ done on the cross. He's the first fruits of the resurrection. Death couldn't hold him. It couldn't hold him. It tried to hold him, but it couldn't hold him. Because the psalmist said, I will not leave my Holy One in hell, neither will it suffer my Holy One to see corruption. God raised Jesus from the dead on the third day. Tomb's empty, and Christ is risen. He's risen. Not only he's risen, he's seated at the right hand of the Majesty in High. Now, do you know what that means? And I've said it before. When you come home from your day's work and you sit down, you've finished the job. You finished it. And Christ has sat down because he's finished the work. Hallelujah. The work's completed. He said on the cross, it is finished. When did he say it? After the 3 hours of darkness. When he took your hell and he took my hell in those 3 hours of darkness. And when you go right back to Genesis, there was darkness. But then it says, then the Spirit of God moved. And God said, let there be light. There was light. But the Spirit of God moves before it speaks. It moves, then there's light comes. And Jesus on the cross, there was 3 hours of darkness when he took your hell and my hell. But then he was moved. And he said, it's finished. And he gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple rent from the top to the bottom. And the priest was in there doing his work in the tabernacle. And the veil rent in front of him. And remember, when you study the tabernacle, the veil that is talking about is the thickness of a man's hand, 4 inches thickness. And it's hanging from here, and it ripped from the top to the bottom. You never rip anything from the top to the bottom. That's the hardest way to rip it. That was showing that God done it. And God was showing the way as made into the holiest of holies, a new and living way by the blood of Jesus Christ, so that any single person that will can come. Right into his presence. 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you know you're not redeemed or corruptible with things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received from the decency of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot. And he's without blemish. Revelation 5:9 says, and they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation. They're singing about the blood. There's going to be rejoicing about the blood in heaven. When a man preaches, we don't need the blood. He's not reading the Bible I'm reading. Because even in heaven, we'll be singing about the blood. Why would you stop preaching the blood? Well, I'll tell you, I'll say it like Spurgeon said it. Spurgeon said, bake me a cake of bread with no flour. And that's like a man preaching a sermon without the blood. It's lifeless. It's anemic. There's a lot of churches are preaching an anemic message. It's lifeless and it's dead. When we quote the power of the gospel. The Bible talks about the power of the gospel. For the preaching of the gospel is the power of God. But it's only the power of God if it's preached. The blood must be preached. That's what gives it its punch. The Holy Ghost and the blood. For the Spirit answers to the blood. Thank God for the blood. Ephesians 1:7. in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of grace. The blood of Jesus Christ blots out sin, annihilates it. It's gone. You don't come back in a month and go back over your past and say, no, I made a mistake down the road. The devil will take you back to all your mistakes all the time if you let him. Who's ever heard of Joan Osteen? Now, I'm not talking about Joan Osteen. Everybody's heard of Joan Osteen. But I'm talking about Joan Osteen. Who's ever heard of Joan Osteen? Joan Osteen was a Baptist preacher that got filled with the Holy Ghost. I believe he was a man of God. Joan Osteen. But they're saying the devil was coming down the road and he had some demons with him. And he said to the demons was going to go over to John Osteen to give him some trouble. And the devil stopped the demons and said, don't look it over there, be a man. I went myself and could do nothing with him. So stay clear. You see, we blame the devil for everything. An old fella said to me years ago, we came out of church one Sunday and the demons were lined up on the cross, the curb all crying. And he went over and he said, what are you crying for? And he says, them Christians blame us on everything. But I'll tell you, the devil goes about like a roaring lion, doesn't he? But his teeth were knocked out. F.F. Bosworth said, when you think of Satan, you have to think of him as an eternally defeated. Eternally defeated. That's some statement, isn't it? But that's what F.F. Bosworth said. That's a man you never hear quoted or mentioned much, but they say he had an outstanding ministry, F.F. Bosworth. Some of the modernists wouldn't know nothing about him, but he knew God, didn't he? The blood of Jesus Christ blots out sin from the very memory of God. And we knew God says, I will remember your sins no more. Do you know what that means? When your sins is gone, and when God says, I remember them no more, you have freedom. Now, people talk about deliverance meetings, and I'm not against praying for people. I've prayed for many of people. But there's a lot of deliverance meetings where they bring people in a room, and they question them into their past life. And we take so many angels and chains and they go over all this rigmarole and there's not one verse for it. I tell you something, when you preach the gospel, yes, and the power of God moves, yes, the devils will go. When Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached, you don't read for he prayed, I take chains and angels and do this or that. Philip preached Christ. The devils cried out and come out. You see, some of this modern stuff's not in the Bible. And they take you back into your past and down in. And half times if they only knew the man that's taking them back's a bigger sinner than the ones he's praying for. And that's the truth of it. When the blood of Jesus cleanses you, you're clean. Does the blood leave a wee dot? Now, I know, and you know I've said it before, no offense to the man that I mentioned because I like his singing, but 99 and a half he sings about. It won't do, he says. But I'll tell you, the blood of Jesus Christ, my Bible says, cleanses from what? All sin. Hallelujah. Doesn't leave any. Oh, well, Tommy didn't just pray that right, and maybe you need a fast for a week to get it all sorted out and all. I tell you, when you come in faith to the Lord, he'll hear you. I know in the book of Daniel you can read, for they were withheld for 21 days. That's under the Old Testament. But Christ has conquered the devil, and he's rose from the dead. And by faith you can be saved in a moment. Is that the truth? You can have it right away. I tell you, it's an ungospel. In 5 minutes, we're going to pray. The blood of Jesus blots out sin from the very memory of God. And we knew God says, I remember it no more. I will blot out them like a thick cloud. Here's what it says in Isaiah 44, verse 22. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. You know how he redeemed you? With his blood. When you take the blood out of the message, you've no redemption. I'll tell you something else you don't have. You have nothing that can appease God. And God has to be appeased for me and you, because we're sinners. But Jesus took our place, and his sacrifice appeased God. It pleased him. And he says, they're all right, they can come. Because I'm not looking at you. I'm looking at the sacrifice. Hallelujah. That's the power of the gospel. We can overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 12:11. The overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The true church is purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's who purchased the church. I'm going to tell you something about the church. The Bible says you're baptized into one body by one spirit. It is God that puts you in, and no man can take you out. I heard of a fellow years ago, and some people left his church, and he told him he'd put a spell on them. Because they left him. Did you ever hear anything like it? He's going to put a spell on them. You know, when the disciples done that, when they were with the Lord, they said, "We'll call down fire from heaven." Jesus said, "You fellas not know what your spirit is at." Is that what he said to them? And you know, there was a fellow preaching and casting devils out, and he wasn't one of them, the 12. And they were going to go down and stop him because he didn't belong to their wee group. Not a lot like the day. And Jesus said, "Such a one doesn't speak lightly of me." God's got people everywhere. There's eagles everywhere. Isn't that right? There's eagles everywhere. The true church is purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, bought and paid for with the price of blood of Jesus. Acts 20, verse 28. "Take heed thereon unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood." You are bought. But the blood of Jesus, there is no general overseer owns you. No priest or pope owns you. But Jesus Christ with his blood has bought and paid for you with precious blood. It's greater than silver. It's greater than gold. It's the precious blood of Jesus that has paid for you in full. You're paid for by the blood of the Lord. And you're the Lord's tonight. And I'm going to tell you something better. The devil can do nothing about it. And whether we're absent from the body or not, we're present with the Lord. It's victory the whole road anyhow. It's victory the whole way. For me to live this is Christ, Paul says, but the guy is key. And let's come and let's pray the night and seek the Lord tonight. God bless each one. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You purchased the church with your own precious blood. We thank you for your precious blood tonight, precious blood of Jesus. Lord, we do ask that you'll wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the snow. Purge us, and we shall be lifted. Sanctify us, and we praise thy name. Father, we do plead thy precious blood on our children, on our loved ones, and all that's near and dear to us. We'll claim that son, we'll claim that daughter, that niece, that nephew, the husband, the wife, we claim them. And we ask that the Holy Spirit will go to working on them. Convict their conscience. Draw them to you. Give them an understanding of the knowledge of the truth in Christ Jesus. Save them and deliver them, we pray. Lord, we've read our first scripture. We're living in evil times. In evil days, there's wars and rumors of wars. But you said, still the end's not yet. But then you said, look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Lord, we know we're living in the last of the last days. And you're coming again. You're coming for the people that's made themselves ready. And we say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Bless your word to their hearts tonight. Lord, if somebody's come in tonight with a burden, with a need this evening, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, you'll meet that need and answer that prayer in Jesus' precious name. Father, for those, Lord, with something happening that's unexpected, turn it around. Lord Jesus, turn it around and do them good in Jesus' precious name. Father, we pray your blessing on this service tonight and for the services that lay ahead. We pray you lead us and guide us by the Holy Spirit. We welcome the Holy Spirit to come into this room, to move in this room, to move in our lives, to move in our midst. Oh, Lord, loose the gifts of the Holy Spirit amongst your people. You said, stir up the gift that is within thee. We thank you, Lord, the gifts and callings are without repentance. Lord, you rose up and you give gifts unto man. We thank you for your provision tonight. We bless you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Let's continue to seek the Lord this evening. Praise God.